Chile and the Champ with Goo Hefner.
What up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Chile and the Champ. We're happy to say that for the second week in a row, Goo is not on assignment. He's here with us today. What's up, Goo?
Hey, man. Glad to be here. You guys won't let me have any fun and send me out to do anything anymore. I don't know what's going on.
Yes, I got to do some research for my bachelor party.
You even having a bachelor party?
Man, you know what? I don't think so. My whole life's been a bachelor party.
Yeah, true. It has.
In other words, she said no bachelor party.
I didn't have one either, though.
No, she didn't say no bachelor party. I could do it.
You know, because she real, though. You know, if she real, she not going to say no. Yeah. But, you know, it's going to be you can have your bachelor party, but you're going to get into some trouble when you get home, though.
But
you're
going to
catch these hands when you get home. That's how it was my wife. She was like, yeah, you can have a bachelor party if you want, but we're going to see what happens when you get home.
But like she had a bachelorette party. They went to Vegas and all that shit.
Oh, your fiance?
Yeah, I told her go. She didn't want to go. I was like, man, go. Like I want her to go. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't want her to feel like this is the end of her life and she can't live it. You know what I'm saying? Because like I feel like I lived my life, so that's why like she
take
loves
it down.
Traveling,
take
man.
It down a notch, Rihanna. Just
man,
live your life
loves,
over
man.
There.
Man, she loves traveling. I really don't.
Let me ask you this, Goo. This is just from. I don't want to say the outside looking in because, you know, I've seen y'all for a while now, you know, just the relationship, but just seeing who you are, how y'all's relationship are, you seem very comfortable, confident in everything, like in the marriage going forward, like you felt like she the one for you, all of that. A lot of times to me, it seems like, I'm not judging nobody, but a lot of people, when they have bachelor parties and they go all out and they having orgies with strippers and all kind of stuff. And then
that
they,
goes down at bachelor parties?
And then they get married the next day.
I've never heard of that.
Literally. and they get married literally the next day.
I couldn't do that, man.
A lot of times it seems like those marriages.
Don't last.
They don't last. Yeah, it's like infidelity throughout the marriage or something. You know, like, I don't know. But so what you saying, like, like when I hear you saying this, it's like a mirror kind of, because that's how I felt too. Like, I don't give a fuck about no bachelor party, me having a bachelor party. I'm ready to get married. You know, I don't need to get nothing out of my system. Damn. I don't need one last hoorah with the homies or none of that. It's just, you know.
That's every day for us.
But that's what it seemed like. I don't know. Is that how I feel with you too?
Yeah,
like, you
yeah,
just
exactly.
like.
I'm just, like, I mean, it's just like, for what? Have somebody I can't touch dancing in front of me and shit? Like. I don't tempt me.
Well,
you know
usually a bachelor party is mostly for your homies, you know, because that's just the reason they want to go out and everything.
But you understand something, though. My homies, it wouldn't just be that type of bachelor party.
Oh, no.
We're just, my homies all corrupt, it seems like, except for, like, Paul. And,
yeah, they're going to be in there.
Yeah.
They're going to be like,
your last one, last time. Gonna... Like, you know.
Like, what do you mean by corrupt? I mean, like, party animals or like.
Yeah,
or,
party animals.
Yeah, that's
man.
What I'm about
yeah,
to say.
Like,
that's
super
like...
duper just party animals.
I was like, what the hell
like
you bringing?
Fun.
The hitman?
But I ain't
going
to lie, but I like to go to my boys' bachelor parties and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, when they have them, and I mean, you know.
Well, see, I think I can speak and say. Us three is different because we've been in the, you know, we've been in kind of like.
Run industry.
In the industry.
Yeah.
You know, you've been getting paid to go to after parties,
right, yeah.
And, you know, you get paid to go to strip clubs like I did. Yeah. So it's like, man, we've seen it all. You know, after you see the first 2-3 parties are all the same, nothing's going to be different or anything.
Man, I'm going to tell you, like, I knew it was bad when I would go out every now and then. People be like, damn, what you doing out? Man, I'll never see you. Like, shit. Like, for real. Or I'll be like, you know what, I'm going out tonight. And I have everything planned out.
And you never went out.
By 9 o'clock, I'll be like, man, fuck that shit.
That's how I am nowadays, man.
I make whole plans to go out, tell everybody, hey, man, let's go out. Okay, cool. Yeah. They'll call me at 11 o'clock. I'm sitting there looking at the phone like, shit.
Man, just think about it. I got to drive.
I'm deja vu, man. I'm having deja vu right there. If you say, if you like, deep down, I kind of want to go out. I know if I go out to, and a lot of times it ain't like we going to the club. It might be. Somebody's in town for a concert or something.
Yeah.
You know, be like, so that would be going out sometimes to us, but or whatever. But and they'd be like, okay, I know if I go see this person, it's gonna be dope. I might have fun. I'm gonna enjoy myself, but I just don't really feel like going out and being around any environment. I just want to chill right now. You know, I don't know.
Nah, man, it's like that. Like finally this Friday, I went out. I got my homeboy. He's like my brother, so I called him and I said, hey, man, we're going out tonight. So around 9 o'clock. I'm texting him, hey, you still want to go out? He's like, oh no, we going out. I was like, oh shit, it's on tonight. So
y'all went out. Where'd you
yeah,
go?
We went to Diablo Local. I just like to go to Diablo Local.
Yeah, like the bars. Spot,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's my spot, man.
No dress code.
No, not. I mean, there's like a dress code.
Yeah, but it's not like going into a club.
Yeah. I mean, I just like going in. You know, I like the music that Jam and Jay play some good music. And then, you know, like the bartenders, they put up with all the stupid, crazy shit I say to them. They know I'm only joking. They don't take it personal. So, you know, I'm like, you know, it's like, and you know what? I'll tell you what, though. It never fails, man. It's just that one time that I'm like, man, I just don't want to go out. But I went out, and I'm kind of glad I did. I had a good time. Caught up with some friends that I haven't seen in a while. And then, you know, you got the occasional listener that comes in. And it makes you wonder, man, am I doing something right with the podcast or whatever? You know, and then somebody's like, hey, man, I just want to let you know I fuck with y'all, man. I like what y'all doing. You know?
He came. I told him to come tell you that.
Yeah. Shut the hell up.
I sent him over. Hey, man, go tell Chile, man.
No, but you know what I'm saying? It's like people, like, you know, and then you have a good time. Woke up with a hangover the next morning, but, you know, I had a designated driver, so I'm good.
I had fun at the address Sunday. We went in early.
What, the day parties? Or
We went in for the day party.
We were there for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, a little longer than that.
Oh, probably 2 hours.
Yeah, we stayed a little longer because DA wasn't there, so we were kicking it.
Yeah,
and then the Astros game was on. That was dope to see
See boy come in.
That's what I want to see when I'm looking at, you know, when I'm sitting down. That's what I want to watch, the Astros game. So, you know what I'm saying? We want to watch the sports game. So that makes it going out. I'm not going out. I don't really drink. So I don't, you know, I did have some Hypnotic, but other than that, I don't really drink.
That's right. I did see you post about you and Hypnotic and all that stuff. That's right.
Because I had two beers and I had some Hennessy.
Some Henny?
Straight Hennessy. And that, bro, we came, listen. We came home. Damn. We stopped and ate at Pele Pele.
Like the soccer player?
Nah, man.
Pele.
It's a restaurant.
Not the clothes, not the soccer player. It's a restaurant, right by Whole Foods. Well, I don't know. They got one in the Galleria.
They got like three or four of them.
Yeah, they got one in Independence Heights over there, Studiewood, right by inside of Whole Foods. They got some good. They got some good food over there, man.
We stopped and ate, and man, I went home and shit. I was at the crib and I felt like, ooh, it was long.
Like a long day, right?
I was like, damn, dude,
I'm gonna tell you, I went out Friday, and then Saturday was my homeboy Rod's birthday. And I'll tell you, one bar that we went to was we were bar hopping. You know, we got a party bus and everything. Went bar hopping. Brian Ching used to play for the Dynamos.
Hello,
the Pitch,
my boy.
Yeah, he's got his bar.
Yeah, Pitch.
He's talking Pitch 25
across from Warehouse Live.
We gotta go by there. That's my boy, Brian. What's
bro,
up, Brian?
Let me tell you, that place was nice. I mean, it was badass.
Was it a soccer match going on that night too?
No, but it was packed, bro.
That's always packed. Because when I went to Warehouse Live, I saw it and I was like, "What the hell is this?" And they said,
"But it's smart though, because you got to think about it. The Dynamo Stadium is right next to it too." Though. Right. So
you know where everybody used to go before that?
Where?
They used to go to
the Lucky's.
Lucky's.
Yeah, now they're not.
Now they got that over there.
Bro, and I'm gonna tell you, it's a nice place. They had I saw a Sale Carey there. A fool was out there. Yeah,
every goddamn
that's
well,
his,
man.
That's not area, man.
Yeah, no, but he was out
Court.
There.
Hey, King's Court. He used to be at King's Court all the time.
But he was there for Natalie, I think one of the girls' birthday from Fox. And
Fox 26 was there.
Yeah, like a couple anchors over there, you know. So I was like, oh damn, that's pretty cool. But I'm not gonna lie to you, Brian Ching's bar is pretty nice. It's nice and it's big. I mean, you can fit about 3,000-4,000 people in there or more.
Yeah, it used to be a fucking warehouse.
Yeah, I mean, but smart for him, man. So that's a pretty good spot, you know. If anybody want to check it out, they got TVs everywhere. It's mostly like a sports place,
sports bar
where you can go kick it. Oh yeah,
man. Let me tell y'all something, man. I've been feeling like a piece of shit because school started this week.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh, my bad. Hold on. I'm still in shock when you said you were feeling like a piece of shit.
Nah, for real, man, because school started this week. So I've been on everybody, you know, my whole family.
Dude.
Excuse me. Hello. I've been
sleeping
on them.
With your shirt off. That's how you get that cold, man.
I've been on them like, okay, we got to go to bed on time. Because, you know, all summer long, my kids was doing this damn 24-hour challenge where they try to stay up 24 hours. All summer long. So it's been hell trying to get them back on the right schedule. So, man, I've been like, okay, school's starting. Come on. I got to make sure they get up on time, make sure they go to bed on time. My bitch ass sleep through the whole morning process of waking up. Every time I wake up, hey, where everybody at that school already? Shit, I missed it all. Chris like, yeah, we just going to let y'all sleep. I just let you sleep because you was sleeping. And we knew you just got back from Atlanta. You ain't getting no. I said, oh, man, it's nice to y'all. I feel like shit.
Yeah, they did. You should feel like shit, bro. You missed the first day of school, man.
Yeah,
God,
man.
Damn.
Shit, man.
Terrible,
I did everything,
man,
to get ready. Like, I made sure they had their school supplies.
Yeah.
Make sure they had their Jordans. You know, that's the number one priority of all kids going to school. Make sure they have Jordans.
So is it
that's a little sarcasm?
Yeah,
that's a little sarcasm.
But you didn't see them off to school.
But
bro,
I didn't see them off.
Is it a big thing for you though, as a parent though, Paul? Like, it's every year. Is it a big thing for you to every year, the first day, every year though?
You know, man, my mom was a teacher for over 30 years, so it's just some things that just I'd be conscious or aware of. Also, you know, for me, it's just about getting them off on the right foot. So some of the things that go with that is getting them in a positive mind frame.
Yeah,
making them shake off the morning jitters of I'm still sleepy. Making them shake off the summer blues or I got to go back to school. Sometimes it's I actually want to pray with them so that to make sure they have a good day. Talk about all the things that they're nervous of or might be nervous of, because I'm nervous, stressed out about these things too. I want to make sure they have a good teacher. I want to make sure that he is not trying to pick on them or mess with them. I want to, you know, stuff like that. I want to make sure, you know, these type of things that I want to make sure they have, you know, the proper school clothes. Now, I don't care if they got elite school clothes, but I don't want them going to school with holes in their clothes and getting talked about, and they got, you know, grease stains on their clothes, whatever, you know, just whatever, just stuff to be happening and you gotta be I'm aware of. So look, some of these things I want to talk to them about, you know, just to get them off on the right foot, to put their mind at ease. So some of them, so I really did want to, so no, I did pray with them the night before when they going to bed, but still I really that's something my mom used to always do with me every single day, was just either say a little prayer for me as I'm walking out the door, or like hold my hand, bow my head, we pray together, or some type of way. She'd always send me off with a prayer of positivity so that it get the day started off right. So I just
every
day? Yeah, every single day. Well, man, you know, she
my
was
mom be like, get your ass out this fucking
yeah, you late. What you doing? You late.
See, I'm always been a morning person though for me. So for me, it was always easy waking up, shower. You wake when you shower. Well, it also helps that in Guatemala, we used to, if there was no hot water, you're screwed. You take, you know, like a shower in cold water.
Yeah.
So that wakes you up pretty quick. So we were always, you know, I usually had
showers. I had like buckets and shit.
No, showers, fool.
Like real shower?
No, but it's some places, you know, people don't have that much money.
No,
so, you know,
When we went to Mexico, we saw that. Like, there were houses, but they didn't have water.
Yeah.
Like, there were like houses on the side of the hill. So they had to use water, like buckets and shit.
No, I get you. No, like, luckily, I was blessed enough to where we were like in neighborhoods to where. But sometimes, you know, like the city, they ain't that responsible with the water and stuff. So if there's no water, there's no water. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that cold water in the morning is.
But that would wake me up. So I'm a morning person. So, you know, I usually like waking up like hour and a half before. So that way, you know, you get your 30 minutes or whatever to get going and everything. And then by the time you get to school, you're ready. But I was just always ready to raise hell, never to learn.
But it's crazy. They starting school late.
Yeah.
Right, 8:30.
Yeah, they changed it up.
The HSD school starting at 8:30.
Yeah,
because now they're 4.
Yeah, 4:30 in Katy now. Because
it's 4. But because my nephew, he's driving now, so they're driving to school this year.
Uh-oh.
Crazy. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Hello.
That's all right.
Them swangers coming.
Shit, you skip the school.
This
you
is
don't
it,
know about it.
Uncle Goo, can I borrow that new Beamer you got?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, come get it.
Jeez, you gonna buy me 25 of them whenever you make it to the big leagues?
Yeah, for real. Yes, so
man,
but it's cool, man. I'm glad everybody's at school, man. You know, it's I don't know. I don't have any kids, so to me, and once I graduated high school, it was like, oh man, I stopped paying attention. All that. Like I used to look forward to like tax free weekend. You know, everybody be like, man,
shopping and shit.
Anything under $100 tax free.
Hey,
bro, you know, like man, just looking at today's times too, like. Like little small stuff, like, bro. I think like society has gotten so everything's so superficial now, right?
Yeah.
Like, what was that story you were telling us about the lady and the wedding?
Oh yeah.
What happened with that? Like,
man, it's like so the story goes, a lady canceled her wedding because.
So she did cancel it.
Yeah, she canceled it because she wanted, you know.
She canceled it and they broke up. Her and the boy, but they had a baby together, so they're still trying to work out that part of
it. Man, I'm gonna tell you,
but they said they broke up and their wedding's off and they're no longer together.
First of all, man, Kanye's got a song about it called Gold Digger.
But why was it? I mean, why was it called off? What happened?
Well, what she wanted at her wedding, she wanted to do like a bridezilla. You know how people like weddings, they go crazy, like they're like, oh, I want to do this,
money.
I want to do. They want to have like the biggest wedding. They'll spend like $500,000 on a wedding and then they have no house. They're still living in an apartment, you know?
Oh, yeah,
so, well, the crazy stuff is she sent an invitation out to all the guests where she said they had to donate $1,500 in order to attend the wedding.
Every guest
had to donate $1,500 to attend the wedding. Because
was it a local wedding in her hometown or was she?
I guess wherever she was off, but she posted on Facebook. She said it's an exclusive wedding, so if you don't donate, you're not invited to her wedding. You know, well, only like 8 people donated. And
I'm surprised 2 people donated to a wedding.
Well, she had she was all pissed off. Like, I think it's just one of those people that have no fucking common sense in my mind, because she was saying, I mean, come on. What's $1,500? What's $1,000? It's not much.
What they had to do with her fiance? Like, why is she mad at him?
She called off the wedding because...
I'll tell you why. Because, okay, when she didn't get any responses, only 8 responses, which is $1,200, they lowered the money, the request from $1,500 to $1,000. When the replies were, are you kidding? Is this a joke? Because people didn't know it was for real. And they were like, are you for real about this? Like, you asking us $1,500 or $1,000? She said, she was getting upset. She didn't get any responses from that. They started a GoFundMe. I think they got $250 on the GoFundMe. All. And her husband was getting stressed out about it. The wedding was coming up. Actually, the wedding, I think they
4
said
days before 4 she days, canceled it.
Yeah, the wedding was 4 days away. The husband said, why don't we just go get married in Vegas? And she got so upset. And she said, what do I look like, a whore? And she canceled the wedding.
How much was she trying to get?
She filed irreconcilable
differences. A WWW. This sound like Chile now.
Man.
Irreconcilable differences.
She says irreconcilable differences because her husband suggested Vegas.
You know what? That strain you're smoking right now, you call it the Chile strain because it's making you talk like me.
Johnny said it too.
Johnny said it. Hey, bro, the other day we was in there. Thought he kept saying Manny Pacquiao. That's why I like Manny Pacquiao.
Manny Pacquiao. Money Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao.
That's what he said. Manny Pacquiao.
Manny Pacquiao.
Right? Yeah. What is he saying though?
No. Money bag yo.
Money bag yo.
Money Pacquiao.
He kept saying that. I said, wait, Manny Pacquiao got a grill?
It sounds just like he said Manny. And he said, yeah, and he got it permanent. We looked at it like, what? Manny Pacquiao got a permanent grill? Hell no.
Man,
what
are you talking about? I asked him, I said, bro, Manny Pacquiao got a grill? No, not Manny Pacquiao.
Not Manny Pacquiao, Money Bag Yo.
And I was like, oh, man, I thought
Money
you said
Bag
that.
Yo.
Bro, I feel stupid because I knew for a fact. He said it 5 times. Yeah.
So you mean to tell me you only feel stupid when you talk to Goof and not us? I mean,
that's stupid that you even say that.
Hey, bro, but just thinking back, it always be like, and we saying this with all positivity, knowing that we all our families come from all different places. We're not saying this with no negativity or none of that. It's all in positivity. And Johnny will be the first one to start laughing and tease you too. Cause Johnny be teasing us about the stuff sometimes. But Johnny, like when Johnny realized that there was a Bow Wow and a Paw Wow, cause Paw Wow. And then when he realized that there was a Bow Wow, like Lil Bow Wow, he was like, what? It's 2 different people. Wait a minute, hold on, because it was the same to him. It was the same, man. But
Bow Wow,
just, man, that's just
and some letter like it, for certain races though, certain letters are like hard to pronounce.
Yeah, tougher to say. Yeah, like, and that including with like man, listen to white people try to say roll their R's when they speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's just as difficult
Puerto Ricans can't roll their R's that much. You know, Puerto Ricans they don't like the way they say the R's. They pronounce it, but it's kind
of
like,
bro, this is reminding me of the story of the girl that was I think she was from London or somewhere, and she was in Spain, and this Spanish lady came up to her and was talking shit to her, and like swung at her hair or something, and like tried to slap her. And she was talking shit to her because she was speaking English, and she was saying, you're in Spain, you need to learn our language.
Oh, damn.
And now apparently this is a huge thing in Spain. It brought me back to America, how so many people be like, oh, you're in America, you need to learn to talk English, you know. But this is like this is a huge thing in Spain, where a lot of the local native Spaniards, they get upset when you come there speaking another language, and they feel the same way that some Americans feel, where they feel like if you're in our country, you need to speak our language. But this lady came up, she attacked this woman. Now the woman who was speaking English, she beat the shit out this girl. And she put it on her Snap or Instagram or something, and was like, man, I can't believe this lady came up. because you know, I don't know if the, you know, the lady who she was claiming that the lady was racist, all this other stuff for telling her to speak Spanish. It was the whole thing was crazy to me, but it's just amazing to me to see the similarities around the world, how people feel so entitled to, this is where I'm at. You need to adapt to me, you know, just because I was born here, so you adapt to me. Or, you know, what, like this, it, I don't know. I've always been more open-minded with other people's cultures, with other people's differences. You know, the differences in other people is what I love. You know, I don't think we should all be the same, you know, but it's just, man, it's crazy to hear this, man. You see this girl, if you go look at her snaps, she got the whole thing on Snap with the whole little incident, man. Just Google it. I don't even know the girl name, but just Google it happened in Spain. So Google that.
See, like, let me jump in on that. Like a lot of people from Spain, they think they're like royalty because they have a queen and a king, you know? So to them, they're like, we're better than y'all. Like, they think like every other Hispanic person is below them because they're not from Spain and they don't have the queen and the king's blood and all that. But, you know, it's all BS, man.
Let me ask y'all this, man, because I've seen this, okay, dealing with Johnny being Vietnamese, I see this with other Asian people that are of different countries. And a lot of times they'll speak negatively on Johnny because he's Vietnamese, but they're Asian as well.
I'm
gonna tell you, if I was Johnny, I would say, you can speak negative about me, just don't speak negative about my bank account. You know, my bank account big. That's all he need to worry about.
Yeah, real talk. That's probably where a lot of the hate comes from too, because Johnny's so successful, it brings out negativity. But I see the racism amongst. It's the same with every, you know,
it's with every,
you know, but
to be honest,
with,
I think.
Yeah, I see that. But speaking on that with the Spaniards, like, is that something
get mad, like, right? Like, if you call a Puerto Rican a Mexican, they'll get highly upset.
You know what? I'm going to tell you, man. I like living here. I was exposed to a lot of cultures, but Mexican people got it bad. Cause even in Guatemala, they were like, my nieces and all that, they were like, ooh, Mexican people. I was like, what you got against Mexican people?
Yeah.
But everybody's got this negative image of Mexico, like Mexicans, you know?
Right,
and I was like, what the, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even people from, like, I'm gonna tell you, true story, my homeboy, Venezuelan, you know? And Venezuelan, like, a lot of different, you know, discriminate, they look down to Mexican people. Like, if you're from Mexico, they look down like you're, They picture like people from Texas,
right?
All you wear, y'all motherfuckers in cowboy boots,
right,
hats,
right,
and y'all
right,
got horses. Everywhere y'all go, y'all got horses.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how they look at Mexican people. But now now you know Venezuela going through that crisis right now, and then you got all the people from Venezuela leaving and coming to the United States.
Right.
So you got like people that are attorneys, doctors, and all that, but they can't get jobs like that here.
Yeah.
So they're working like at restaurants and all this shit. So I went in straight out to my homeboy. I was like, man, y'all the new Mexicans now. No, I told him straight out.
Sound like somebody I know.
Venezuelans are the new Mexicans now, because back in the day, they used to talk bad about it. But now they're all coming from Venezuela here for a better life. And then, I'm a doctor. Well, you ain't certified here in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
So you know what? You got to make a living.
Right.
Oh, shit. The only job you can get is construction, mowing lawns, painting, and most of them don't have papers, you know, so they can't even work. So they got to do. So I told them straight out, I said, now you know what Mexican people felt. You know what I'm saying?
Your boy can't get a job either?
Oh, no, he's been here since high school. Okay. That dude is like a citizen, you know, so it was like, but he started to realize like what I was telling him. I was like, damn, I see it now, because you
it's
have
a
people,
shift, right?
It's yeah,
shift,
it's right? Like, it's like people that are working the oil and gas, you know, good paying jobs and everything, but they come here, like, they don't have the permit to work, so they're like, shit.
And it's a completely different language.
Yeah, they don't know the language either, so they got to learn, so they got to start from, you know, and unfortunately,
the only people they're going to be able to speak with,
Hispanics here, you know what I'm saying? But now they're starting to feel, and they're seeing it for themselves, you know? So I always told my nieces and nephews, I was like, hey, man, you can't be saying that, and then they were like, oh, until they started meeting people from Mexico here, and it's just, I think, the mentality of people, you know, when people, you hear one person say, oh man, blah 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 blah,
right,
and it just keeps being, you know, so it's just, it's,
man,
crazy to me, man.
You know, I remember being in sixth grade, and I'm not gonna say the person's name, but I remember a girl Now, I remember I said something, or somebody said something, or referred to this person as being Mexican, and she said, "Ooh, I'm not a dirty Mexican." And
yeah, that's how they look.
That always stuck with me, and bro, I always wondered, like, I didn't
this
get
has
it.
Has stayed with Paul because he's told this story before.
Oh yeah,
I never got it. Like, even at the time, I was like, "What? I don't like. Is that a joke? I don't get it. Like, what do you mean? When I think of somebody that's Mexican, first of all, Mexico is a beautiful country, bro. So many people have never been there, and they think it's just it's not a good, man. Mexico, bro, Guadalajara, bro, that shit was beautiful, bro.
Oh, right there off of Maine? Off of Maine? Guadalajara, off of Maine? They got good margaritas, bro.
like there's places in Houston that looks like a piece of shit. You go to certain places that are decrepit, or the city hasn't kept up, or it's just, you know, all the way run down, or it's been hit by the hurricane and never recovered. Now, those are all situations that are a lot of out of the circumstance of the person living there. You know what I'm saying? So there's that in every city around the world, in New York, in France, in Paris, everywhere, in LA, in all the top cities around the world, there's that same thing. But, you know, the beauty that we, like, when I think of Mexico, I never thought something bad. I always thought hardworking or people that were not dirty. I never thought that. So I remember when this girl saying it, like, man, why would you say that? Like, I don't get it. And then at the same time, I'm thinking, shit, I probably ain't took a shower in a few days. Dirty as fuck.
But that's a taught behavior.
It is, bro.
That's taught. Yeah. Like she didn't just learn that. That's something her parents have said to her in front of her. You know what I'm saying? That's why you didn't understand what the hell she was saying, because your mother and father didn't teach you that.
They taught me something else.
Yeah, they taught you something else. So you're like, wow, that's not cool. That's not funny. Like, I don't get it.
And seeing a lot of people, what they saw was the construction worker going to lunch to eat, and they've been out sweating all day, and look, so they say, "Oh, he's dirty."
That's hard work,
you know. But see, that's what they're just thinking, that that's how you live. They don't think that you go home and shower.
Somebody pointing out to me, they like, look, see that person over there working hard to put food on their family table. You think that's what he want to do, but that's what he got to do, and that's what he doing. Whereas someone else was pointing out to them, look at that dirty person. They dirty.
You know, let me tell you one thing I know. It's easier to get. It's easier to go into a 9-to-5 AC job than to get up and go
work in the outside.
Imagine working every day 10-12 hours, doing the hardest labor work,
hard labor in the worst
conditions, only to keep the bare minimum and send the rest back home.
Yeah.
See, that's why, like, it's
sacrifice.
Like
a sacrifice.
Yeah,
bro.
It's a sacrifice, man. And we,
it's so unselfish.
Even the Mexican Americans born here, like in the U.S., they're fucking spoiled as shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, they act like they're too good to go and work these jobs as well. You know what I'm saying? It's not even. It's a whole American issue. Yeah. You just feel like, man, I'm not going to do that. Bro, go look out there. You're very rarely gonna see if there's, man. Nine times out of ten, you're gonna see nothing but Mexicans out there. That's it. Man, period.
I'm gonna tell you one of the hardest jobs is roofing.
Oh hell yeah!
And doing the lawn work, man. But you're out in the day in the sun all day.
Yeah.
On your feet all day, working all day. Yep.
Yeah, man. You know, it's a lot of hard workers out there, man. But it's just every race, though, man. You know, I always tell people. Everybody always says the bad about every race, but every race has bad people. But they also got good people, man. Yeah. You know, so that's why I'm like.
But that's like, man, I got a family right now living in my rent house, and they've been there for 5 years. And it started off with the husband, a wife, a kid.
Yeah.
And, man, 5 years later, I think it's the husband, the wife, the kid, a new kid, the mother-in-law, and I think his brother-in-law lives there now, too, now.
Damn.
But, man, let me tell you something. As long as that rent's paid, I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Like, because, I mean, they don't cause no problems. The rent's, anytime the rent's due, it's paid on time. And
that's all that really matters. Unless, you know, if you're getting letters from the city saying, hey, man, y'all got too many cars in the front yard.
But see, they ain't even cars like that. You know, I mean, that's the thing about it. You know what I'm saying? You know, at the end of the day, man, it is what it is. Shit.
Hey, man, they working hard and paying their money and whatever. So, you know, that's how it is. You know, first of all, we got to say, man, rest in peace to John McCain, dude. Shocking.
Rest in peace.
It was shocking.
That shit happened fast.
Yeah, it was shocking because, like, I think Thursday they announced, they said, okay, they're stopping treatments. And then, like, Saturday, boom, they announced it.
Yeah, man. You know, it's he to see his life, like, and now that he's passed away, you're starting to hear like more and more in depth stories.
Yeah,
and
bro.
Did you hear the prison guard?
That's what wait. With the Vietnam shit?
Yes.
Bro, I did not know. That fucked my head up. Did you know this?
I know he was a prisoner of war. And he got caught because he didn't want to leave.
Like a thousand and something days.
Yeah, yes, because he didn't want to leave the prisoners behind.
That's years, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was like for 4 or 5 years, I think.
Man, that's fucking crazy.
But
bro,
he didn't want to leave.
And we got a goddamn draft dodger who fucking didn't want to go to war because what was the excuse? His foot or what?
Nah, bone, what you call it.
Well, that's what I was going to hit at.
He can't even remember what it was too.
Trump and McCain never got along, and Trump started talking shit about him, you know. And you know, McCain, rest in peace, people call him a prisoner of war, a war hero,
right?
And Trump said he wasn't a hero because he got caught.
That's
the most disrespectful thing you could possibly ever say, man. For this man to not only
a draft dodger, first of all,
man, that's so disrespectful. For this man to be caught a prisoner of war, and at any time he could have lost his life, his plane went down. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, this is, man, to talk about somebody like that with such disrespect and with such ease, like for it to roll off his tongue like that, like it's a joke. Like, man, that's so disrespectful, man. And so that's why it's not shocking when you hear some of the other allegations that he didn't say.
You seen all the stupid shit he's doing though?
Man, like, he didn't even want to put the flag.
No, he said, race them up full staff.
Yes,
you know?
Man.
Right. The flags were at full staff. I saw that. But you know, he's banned from the.
Well, McCain's his wishes.
Banned.
His wishes, when they said his funeral wishes, he says, do not invite Donald Trump.
And he had Obama and somebody else.
Bush
and Obama.
Bush and Obama are going to do his eulogy.
Because I'm saying, man, it's.
And Fitzgerald going to speak too.
What are they going to do? His
football player.
Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah, yeah.
What they gonna do? What
they're gonna do is eulogy.
No, what you say?
Oh, shut the hell up, dude.
they gonna do his biography. What?
Nah, he gonna do his Wikipedia.
Nah, but man, it's only one thing worse than the LA Dodger, man, and that's the draft Dodger. I'm telling you.
And you know,
shout out to all my LA homies. I had to get that one in. Sorry, guys. You know, World Series grill.
Hey, but you know what they So the crazy thing is the reporter's been asking Trump about it, and he refuses to say anything, acknowledge anything about McCain. You know, it's like, dude, do the classy thing and say, hey, you know what? You know, a father, a son, a brother, a sister, a husband, a hero is gone.
Man, one positive take, you know, that I'm getting from Trump being in office is that it's really causing the whole Republican Party to do a self-evaluation. And you got, you know, there's a line drawn of how far are you willing to go so that you can further your political career, or are you really trying to help the people who elected you? So, you know, I really feel strongly that with Trump being a president, you know, this is going to bring out some of the best Republican leaders that we've ever seen. And it's going to be people that we haven't ever even heard of, mostly, I think. But it's going to really bring them out because they're going to be forced to step up. And people that are Republicans, like friends that I have that are Republicans, you know, a lot of them, some of them, they don't want to support Trump, but you know, who else are they going to support? And he's the president, and he's Republican, so they like, you know, but this is going to bring out some Republican leaders that really are going to lead and care about the people that they're, you know, representing, and I feel very strongly about this. So man, I'm looking forward to that.
But whatever it is, man, it's a bunch of my friends in the politics. He's an older guy. Trump's going to get impeached. I'm telling you, watch. And I was like, for him, like, he studies politics. He's into that deep. So for him to say, because I don't follow it like that, to be honest. But I don't know what the hell Trump's doing, but it looks like...
A lot of illegal shit.
Yeah, but it looks like he could be on his way to being impeached. Like,
yeah, you know, but he's going to serve his 4 years. I'll tell you that, because by the time they impeach him, it's going to be 4 years.
He's going to get reelected, though. Remember, you heard it here first. I think he's going to get reelected for sure.
Now, there's a lot of stupid people out there that he burned.
If you vote for him again, Paul, boom. Of course he's going
to I ain't vote for him. No.
Paul, like, hell no.
Well, I guess technically I did, because, you know, if you didn't vote, that's a vote for Trump, and I didn't vote. So yeah. I guess I did vote for
Thanks
Trump.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
My bad. I voted for Sylvester Turner, though.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
I voted for my boy Sylvester Turner, though.
Man, well, tell your boy, we got potholes that need to be fixed. We need funding. Nah,
we damn sure do, but 20th Street is, ooh-wee, 20th Street is all potholes.
Yeah, you know, I'm dodging potholes more than Donald Trump was dodging the draft, bro. Yeah. That's how bad it is, bro.
Swinging.
Yeah, man.
That boy Donald Trump swung.
Like, to me, it just cracks me up because, You know what Donald Trump is good at? He's good at pointing the finger at people. Whenever something's his fault, he won't admit it. He'll be like, well, Obama did this. Obama, dude, leave Obama alone. He, that dude has been in office. He hasn't said nothing or whatever.
Yeah, he ain't said nothing. He's good at deflecting.
Yeah, that's what he does good. He deflected going to the war. He's deflecting everything. But, you know, like a lot of, like they're talking about his campaign manager could do some serious jail time, man. It's not looking too good for a lot of the people that.
They said he could be facing 80 years.
80 years, fool. But of course, you know, people that support Trump and hate everybody else, fake news, fake news, fake news. That's just, you know, people against that don't want to see the truth or whatever. So whatever it is, man, you know, you can't fool. Justice is blind, supposedly what they say. So we'll see what happens, man. Mm. But do you think he's gonna pardon a lot of the people that
he gonna some of the? I think some of the it's somewhat of a debate. They say on some of the things like can he pardon himself type of stuff. But I don't know. I think it's to a point where, you know, you're only making yourself look bad. So why else would you pardon these people other than you trying to cover something up? Because that's what he's holding is he's telling them, look, don't worry, I'm gonna pardon you. And they're like, fuck, I'm facing 80 years. All I gotta do is spill the bean. I spill it. And do they look like the people that's going? Nah, they ain't gonna hold water. So they gonna tell anything they got. They man, you think this boy trying to go to 80 years and he man, hell nah, he gonna tell you anything he got on Trump. So Trump trying to tell him just put his ease mind at ease.
Wasn't he trying to outlaw snitching?
Yeah, that's why Trump trying to this boy Trump really trying to outlaw snitching, man. Ain't that some shit, man? You can't tell on somebody to get yourself a better deal.
About the only thing Trump and hood motherfuckers got in common, they're trying to outlaw snitching.
You're gonna see Trump with a stop snitching shirt. Hey, man.
Man, that's some crazy stuff. Man, hey, you know what though, man? I'm not gonna lie, man. That fool keeps it fun, interesting. Yeah, I get to
it's
laugh.
It's been a hell of a couple years, man. I ain't gonna lie. Shit, boy, late night been having a ball. The ratings been off the chain.
Yeah, that's how it goes, man. So, you know, it's funny, man. Let's just see what happens with all that Days of Our Life with Donald Trump edition.
Yeah. Yeah. On the next edition of Days of Our Life with Donald Trump.
Man.
He pardons everybody at trial and says, hey, don't say shit. I got you.
Yeah. Well, you know, he like all the moves he's making is benefiting his family members, basically. Like, you know, when he did like
his political moves.
Yeah. Political moves like business and all this and all that. He benefiting his daughter. Did y'all see that about one of the owners from that beer, Sam Adams. He was at a dinner with a. Where they were, you know, for Trump or whatever, and he gave a speech saying that he appreciates Trump because whatever he did with the business, it benefited him because he's a small business, and all the and what, like that's the way he broke it down is like beer bottle, like beer companies, most of the big time beer companies are like out of the United States, so it wasn't fair for those big companies to get the tax breaks. And he wasn't getting it when he was an American, you know? So he was paying like 22% in taxes, and the other companies big time out of the United States were paying like 18%, you know? So he said that. So then like the mayor of Boston was like, I'm not drinking Sam Adams anymore just because he supported that whole, he said that about Trump. I mean, I think that's taking it a little bit too extreme, man.
Yeah, man. You know, if, I haven't seen people that have been benefiting from Trump being in president other than like a couple people like that. You know what I'm saying? So if all of a sudden Trump did something and he made people start buying grills and my albums and all my albums went 10 times platinum all because of something Trump did, I'd probably say thank you too. I'd say, hey, fuck you, but thank you though. Other than that, like, who is him being president?
Hey, first things first. Fuck you, but thank you.
Hey, but thank you, though. Hey, but, you know, they always say, too, you don't really see the true effects of a president till years after they've been in office. So it's like, man, but so far, I haven't seen nobody benefit from him being president.
And, like, that's the funny thing you say.
No, I haven't seen no American benefit from him being president.
And it's funny, with the stuff you're saying right now is because all the stuff that he's reporting on right now that's doing good is effects from Obama's presidency. But he's taking credit for it.
Yeah.
That's what's funny to me.
And then he's changing the things that made it positive. He's ending those programs.
Yeah.
So it's like, bro, what is you doing, bro? What is you doing, bro?
What is you doing? doing, man? Let me tell you. Let's switch it back to speaking of beer. I saw a tweet, man, about People's Champ beer being already in cans and everything. What's up with that, man?
Yep, we canned up, baby. Got that People's Champ 8th Wonder Edition. Yep, yes, sir. They got a whole, you know, Houston Rap Series of beer with my boy Slim Thug, the Boss beer. Bun B got the Brew GK.
Man.
And yours truly, Pow Wow. We got the People's Champ beer. Yes.
So when is the big revealings? And is it out already? Or is
it's been on tap at 8th Wonder off and on. You know, we always sell out. And it's seasonal, too. All our beers are going to be seasonal. But it's getting ready to hit the stores and coming up right here next month.
Ooh, September. September. Yes, right around Canelo Triple G fight.
So. Hello.
Man, y'all excited about that fight?
Canelo going to wipe the floor with that boy, man. What's up, Canelo?
Man,
what it do?
Speaking of boxing, did y'all see the crazy shit that happened this weekend with the Houston boxer?
But everybody thought he was scared. That dude wasn't scared.
No.
He was
making
us.
Yeah.
Because
When
I saw it, I was like, bro, you could tell he wasn't going to fight from the beginning. Like, he was in that bitch like, well, whatever.
I want to know what he said to him, though. You seen when he was talking to the other dude? I want to know what he said. Yeah. Like, was he talking shit? Or was he just like, hey, man, I'm about to be out.
Like,
okay,
man,
so,
like, look,
so for those people that don't know, there was a Nigerian boxer from Houston, Texas. He's from Houston. He trains with Ronnie Shields. I can't even pronounce his last name, but it's a big dude. He's like 6'5". Heavyweight boxer, undefeated, now is 6-0, and most of his fights don't go past the first or second round. He knocks people out. So he kind of looks like Deontay Wilder, you know, like that's how he's built, like him and everything. So I'm excited to see, you know, a couple more fights for him. He's got to get around the 17 fight range for him to go against Deontay Wilder, just for me personally. But so this weekend, Friday, he was fighting in Minneapolis, and his opponent was from Florida. So, you know, they're introducing everything and whatever. And then the bell rings, and as soon as the bell rings, his opponent just leaves the ring and walks back to the locker room. Everybody's like, what? And the commentators are like trying to like make a, what the hell's going on? And then the guys are like, oh man, one of the Charlo brothers was commentating. He's like, "What's going on here?" Like they didn't know what the hell was going on. And
how
then, shut your ass!
he got booed walking out too.
Yeah, he was getting booed.
He was getting booed.
Yeah, yeah, people were like, "What the hell's going on?" And
what
then
was
he was protesting because they said
his pay, right?
4 hours before the promoter cut his pay. He said,
want to fight either.
So
man,
he was
like doing the show.
Yeah.
And they tell you, all right, look. Man,
so now I kind of see his point now.
I'm only going to give you 50% of what I said I was going to do. And you got to, man.
We're going to say, all right, we're going to catch you next time.
Yeah, all right, bet. Yeah.
So his protesting, he said, like, whenever he spoke to the reporter, he said, you know what? I want my respect. I want people to, you know, do this and that. So his whole thing was, you got to respect me, man. You can't disrespect me and cut my pay 2 or 3 hours before the fight.
Man, I don't care if you're a boxer, if you're a damn yard.
You
got to
be professional.
He said that
whatever you do in life, man, you cannot let that happen.
No.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. He said he still went in the ring and let it start so that his contract would be over.
Yeah.
But he's like, nah, I'm not going to participate.
No, and it was, I see his point. I
so
see his point.
He fulfilled his obligation of the fight.
That he got in the ring.
Yeah.
He got in the ring. He attended everything. But the one where I was like, to me, it was like, man, it's a disrespect. First of all, to your opponent and to the boxing sport, you know, because all he had to do to where a lot of fighters have done it is call off the fight. They're like, well, I'm not fighting if you're going to do that to me. And it sounds to me like he needs to get himself a better agent or something like that to, you know, because, you know, that's where sports agents come in. If you're going to get somebody that tells you, oh, I'm going to cut your pay.
The only reason why I could see they could cut his pay was because he didn't make weight or something.
But it's heavyweights, man.
Yeah,
it's heavyweight, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. No, I think they didn't. I think the ticket sales, like the money, I think that's what it was.
And you know, that's where the janky promoters come in at times. But, you know, I'm 50-50 on this. I see the fact that I think he could have gone about it professional instead of doing.
So
he got noticed.
Professional?
he could have called the fight off and said, when he found out, then he could have said, I'm not fighting.
But he said he was protesting it. And the reason he was protesting is because it happens more often than not. You know what
I'm saying? But just when it happens, the fighters have canceled their fight before they go to the ring. And they've done that. So that's.
And it's still happening. So I guess he's like, but we don't know that. You know what I'm saying? But like, as a fan, I don't know. I just think, okay, the fight didn't happen or we never know about it. But to see this, you see, this shit went viral. It doesn't go viral when two boxers don't fight because the other one just quit because of money. But because this guy got in the ring and left, this shit just started like a wildfire.
And everybody knows, everybody knows, it's a gamble when you planning on paying people out of what you make at the door.
Yeah.
You know, the real professional, I mean, I don't know who promoted or did none of this, but this is how every game go. And I know boxing is not the exact same as the rap game, but when you do something, you know, you're supposed to have the money up front, the funding up front, so that no matter what happens, there's a payout and everything go, you know, and you also have to have backup money. So when you banking on the door, so if it's a bad, like, oh, it's a bad draw, ain't that many people come, we ain't got enough people to, well, that's a, you know, that's a gamble. That's one of them gambles where you doing like a door split or something like that. Man, you know, it's always a gamble when you do stuff with people like that. I don't know, man. I don't know. Thank God we haven't had to deal with that too many times. But for sure, man, thank God I got Goo, because Goo put his foot down. We're not going
to. But that's my thing. You got somebody that represents you. That guy needs to get somebody to represent him that does a better job, because his agent should have said, nah, man, you're not going to fight. Because the agent's supposed to.
And he did fight.
No, but in my way, I think he hurt him more.
Why
not to fight? Because now promoters are going to be like,
nah,
people are not going to want to deal with him.
Why?
They're not going to want to deal with him. Well, I think his record was like something in 3-9-3 or something, 6-3. So they were like, man, Bomani was going in on him, talking about he was trash because of his record anyway. But I mean, but at this point, you know.
But I bet you nobody, I bet you Bomani, if he went and got on that damn, if before he got on TV, if they told him, hey, man, look, you make $100,000. Look, man, shit, we only paying you $50,000 from here on out.
Yeah,
I don't think he was gonna make that, man, because he's not to like big time headliners.
I know he ain't gonna make nothing like that. I'm just giving an example.
Whether or not
cost numbers,
whether or not he gets like booked to box again, kind of, because there's always gonna be somebody who gonna give him a chance. You know, depend on what his reputation and character is with these people already. Like, so compared to the rap game, you know, if one of these trash ass rappers who's not getting booked anyway do some shit like this, well, they're not getting booked no way. You know what I'm saying? But if somebody like Slim Thug or Zero or, you know, who or us, well, we get booked every single week, and we have for 20 years now.
I mean, we've seen
people ain't took a week off in 20 years, bro.
Talk
literally
that shit, Paul. Talk that
so,
shit.
No. So if one of us deal with something like that.
Hold on, how does a Frontmaster Flex drop the bomb?
Nah, but you know, some of it goes to that, you know. So depending on what their reputation is as a boxer, anyway, you know, or their past dealings is going to probably determine whether or not he get booked again. But I know our boy from Houston gonna get booked again.
Oh yeah, man, he's on his way up, man, because you know, he's undefeated, 6-0 now, and you know he's something that, you know, everybody's
has
trying
he been
to
get fighting. He's just kind of doing the little BS fights, you know how they do to build their records up.
Well, he's picking whoever they're putting him to fight. Because, you know, heavyweights, they're not that many heavyweight fighters to begin with. So, you know, he's doing everybody that he's fighting, it's legit.
You're doing 3 rounds?
I mean, they're like 10-round fights, 12-round fights, but they don't go past second or third round.
Now, you know, sometimes they have those three-round fights when they start.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why they do that. Like,
I mean, you know, they just need, like, the undercard. They need to feel – it's kind of like the opener, for Paul. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like we got the main event, but you
got
to feel like 3 hours.
You only got 10 minutes.
You got
3 rounds. You better knock somebody out and get knocked out.
So, I mean, I'm going to tell you why I think that kind of hurt him, because people are going to look at him as problematic.
I don't think so. I think people are going to look at him like, damn, that dude stood for something. Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, but then he's not getting booked right now. He's not getting played or anything.
That's true. But I think he felt as though this had to have happened before. Period.
Oh, yeah.
I think he felt like, man, this shit can't go on. Because I'm going to tell you something, man. Boxing is a brutal last sport, man.
No, I
could go over here and get my – I could fucking die in this ring.
I agree with you 100%,
So why in the hell are you trying to take money out of my pocket when it's already – I'm probably ready for to get my ass whooped already. Number one, y'all brought me here to be a fucking punching bag, okay?
Like, but he knew that risk whenever he signed the contract.
I know,
and,
right? But
and then also, it isn't a Floyd Mayweather fight where you're getting $100 million, right? Yeah. But he cutting it from 100 to 50,
right? But he signed that contract because I'm gonna get $20,000, and I'm just making up numbers.
No. I'm gonna get
$20,000 to get my ass whooped. Now all of a sudden, before the fight, you tell me, well, I'm only gonna give you $5,000 or whatever the price was. No, fuck that. If you tell me 20, I want 20. If a goddamn promoter comes,
right,
we gotta show.
I agree with you on everything. I agree with you on everything like that. But where I'm saying is, he should have called the fight off before the night. Like whenever he found out that we're cutting all his stuff, he could have said, you know what, I'm not fighting.
But look, this is why I think he did it. The only reason I think he did it the way he did it was because he was protesting. There's a difference between not fighting, and then there's a difference between protesting. Not fighting is like, man, I'm just not gonna do it. Nobody cares, whatever. I think he knew what was gonna happen. He knew this shit was gonna go viral. He knew would make it public. Cause look, now people might even look at that promoter and say, man, well, who you were fighting for? Oh, this promoter, such and such. But man, we ain't fucking with him. He might have knocked that promoter out or been like, man, I'm telling you, watch, there's gonna be more people to say, man, that shit happened to me. And you can call
actually,
him,
it's a pretty, well, I don't know.
It's pretty common.
No, what I was gonna say, like, it's a big time promoter because it was, I think it was Premier Boxing.
Oh, Premier Boxing. Yeah, yeah. See, I mean,
it wasn't just any. It was something. We don't know the promoter's side. You know, we've only hearing what he was protesting for and whatever. My thing is, like, you could have been professional about it instead of, you know, hurting yourself down the line of not getting booked anymore.
Yeah, we won't know.
I definitely want to hear the promoter's side.
Yeah.
Because they could tell a complete opposite story.
It could be a truth or it could be a lie.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it happens everywhere. So hopefully we'll do some more research on that and something like that happens. But, all right, man. So we appreciate everybody tuning in and checking us out, man. You know, make sure you follow us on social media.
Pow Wow, baby.
So at Chile and the Champ on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Goo_Hefners with 2 F.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Absolutely.
And at the Chile, Thechile.
Already.
Church.
Chile and the Champ with Goo Hefner.